Last week we looked in verse number 18 where the writer of the psalm declared that the law of God is wondrous, which meant that it is wonderful, it is amazing, and yet at the same time difficult to understand. And he went on to say in verse number 18 that he knew it deserved to be beheld or to be considered or to have attention given to it. And so he prayed and he asked the Lord, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law." So here's what the writer understood, is that in order for him to understand and to consider and to behold everything that the amazing, wonderful Word of God had to offer, God would have to open and would have to remove the obstructions from his eyes so that he could get everything from the Word of God that he needed to get at that time. And last week I tried to remind us that the Word of God is still wondrous. It is still wonderful. It is still amazing. It is still fantastic. And yet we know this to be true, that there are times that it is difficult to understand. And so because of that, we need the Lord to open our eyes. We need the Lord to remove the obstructions from our eyes so that we can see it, so that we can consider it and give it the attention it deserves. I hope you've done that this week. I hope that as you've spent your time in the Word, you've asked the Lord to open your eyes so that you could get everything from that Bible reading time that you needed to, that you were supposed to. If you didn't, I would encourage you to start this week. All right? Okay. This morning I'm going to begin by talking about something that is not too manly. It's not too impressive for me to talk about, but I like candles. Okay, I like candles. And so I have a candle in my office right now that I am in the process of burning throughout the week. And you know things that I'm about to tell you as it relates to candles. But you know that when a candle is just in its natural state, it's made out of wax, correct? So you've got this wax candle, and you know that the substance of it in its natural, normal state, it's somewhat of a hard substance. It's somewhat of a solid substance. We wouldn't say it's overly hard or anything of that nature, but it is a hard and solid substance. You know that within that candle, though, that there is at least one wick. That is how you burn the candle. All right, so in this candle that I have in my office, there is this wick that is sticking up out of it. So each day whenever I come to the office, I get my lighter and I light the wick, and that flame begins to burn. And as that flame begins to burn, what does it begin to do to the wax? Well, you know this to be the case. It begins to burn that wax, and it begins to melt that wax. And as it burns throughout the day, here's what happens. The longer it burns, the more that wax, the more that flame continues to melt the wax, and as that wax melts, it loses its stiffness, it loses the hardness of its otherwise condition or position. It begins to get soft, it begins to become pliable, and you can manipulate that wax and you can do all sorts of things with the wax that has been melted down. You understand how this works, right? You have wax, you apply a little bit of heat, and the wax begins to melt. It goes from a hard substance to a soft substance. It goes from something that is solid to something that is not solid at all. You have completely changed it, and you have made it a weaker material because of the flame or because of the fire. As you understand that, and as you know that to be true, I did some research this week. If I am wrong, please don't burst my bubble until after the service, okay? Don't correct me from the pew this morning, but I did some research this week, and I posed the question to Google, okay? Is there any substance that cannot be melted? And the answer that I found was this, is that any substance, if enough heat is applied to it, can be melted. Steel will melt, aluminum will melt, copper will melt, all sorts of substances that you and I are familiar with. If you apply enough heat to it, it is capable of melting. So we understand the concept on an everyday basis. We understand it from an everyday approach with the candle and how you apply just a little bit of heat and it begins to melt. But the same would be true of the strongest substances and the strongest materials out there. When enough heat is applied, it will go from that which is solid and that which is firm and that which is is sturdy to that which is liquid and to that which is soft and not at all what it once was by way of its original form. Why do I mention that? Well, this evening, or this morning rather, I want us to think about a couple of things as we get into the text, okay? I want us to think about who the author is of this portion of Scripture. The truth is this, we don't know who the author is. We would assume, or many would assume, that it was David, but we don't know for certain who it was. But here's something we can know with certainty, is this, is that it was an individual who walked with God and had a real and genuine relationship with the Lord. No one has this attitude toward the Scripture. No one has this approach to their daily life as you read through the book of Psalms in this chapter. No one has this kind of outlook on life and the Word of God and not have a genuine and real and strong and vibrant relationship with the Lord. As that is so, I want us to consider what modern-day theology would like us to believe and what many modern-day preachers would like us to believe. They would like us to believe that if this individual walked with God, then somehow that meant that this person was living above the trials and the frustrations of life. There are those who live in our culture today, we understand this, and I'll probably say more about it in a couple of moments, but there are those in the world today who would call themselves spiritual leaders and spiritual theologians and spiritual guides. They would say that when you live as you're supposed to live, if you live as you ought, then you will live above the trials and the frustrations of life. And you're only going to know wealth and prosperity and the goodness and the favor of God. There are those who like to teach such a theology in our culture today. So if you took that mindset, if you took that theology, if you took that approach to Scripture and that doctrine, and you began to apply it to the writer of this verse and to this chapter, you would assume, well, this individual must have a wonderful life. This individual must be a man who never experiences the trials of life. This man lives on a level or on a plane that I don't even relate to. I don't begin to understand. But here's what we know, if we know anything about the Scripture, that if anyone would suggest that living a godly life somehow exempts you from the trials of life, that is someone who is not a student of the Word of God. It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter what kind of walk they have with the Lord. No matter who the individual is, they are going to experience the difficulties and the trials and the struggles of life. It is true of preachers. It is true of Sunday school teachers. It is true of workers. It is true of lay people. It does not matter who it is. Everyone deals with the trials and the struggles of this life. This writer was no different. How do we know? Well, if we look in verse number 28, toward the middle of the verse, here's what he speaks of. He speaks of heaviness. He speaks of heaviness in verse number 28. What is heaviness? Heaviness would be sorrows or affliction. Sorrows or affliction. Here is what the writer of the verse indicates, and here is what the writer of the verse admits, that at this current stage in his life, he is dealing with the heaviness or the sorrows or the afflictions of life. He's making it known that his life is not exempt from the heaviness of life. He is making it known that his life is not exempt from the frustrations of life or the afflictions of life. No, he, like everyone else, would have to deal with heaviness, sorrow, and affliction. He was just like every other man and woman walking on the earth at that time. What were his afflictions? We don't know. What were the nature of his afflictions? We don't know. What caused the heaviness? Apparently, it was not necessary for us to know what the source of heaviness was. I think there's a reason for that. I'll just throw it in real quick. I think it's for this reason. So that we could not compare heaviness to heaviness. Oh, well, his heaviness isn't near as bad as my heaviness is. His troubles aren't near as great as my troubles are, because we have a tendency to do such a thing, do we not, sometimes? Well, my trials are much greater than their trials. And what are they worried about? What are they so upset about? I mean, I've got it far worse than what they've got. It's silly, is it not, to do such a thing? And so I think the Scripture is silent for a reason. We don't have to know what the source of the heaviness was, but we do know that he was dealing with the heaviness of life. So notice what he says before he makes his way to the word heaviness. He said, "My soul melteth for heaviness," or "my soul melteth because of heaviness." He says, "My soul is melting because of the heaviness or the sorrows or the afflictions of this life." The word choice in this verse, I think, to borrow from last week's message, is wondrous. I think it's a wonderful choice of words. I think it's an amazing choice of words that the writer uses here to describe the current condition that he is in. He says, "My soul is melting." What is the soul a reference to? It is a reference to the man himself internally, not externally. He's not dealing with the part of himself that everyone can see. He's not talking about the part of himself that is visible to those that he would come into contact with. He is talking about who he is internally. He says, "My soul is melting. My soul is melting. Internally, I am melting." Now, we'll deal with the word melting in just a moment, or the word melteth in a moment. But I want us to think about this. Because this is an internal thing that is taking place, those who knew him and those who came into contact with him, unless he expounded on what was happening in his personal life, they would not know that his soul was melting because of the heaviness. Internally, he would say, "I am melting." And so because it was an internal struggle, because it was an internal battle that he was dealing with, his family would be unaware of what was happening in his life. Because of what was happening to his life internally, his friends would be unaware of what was going on in his personal life. He could come into contact with people on a daily basis. He could do business with people. He could have multiple interactions with people, and they would never suspect anything was wrong with him, because the struggle that he was dealing with and the battle that he was facing and everything that he was contemplating, every bit of this was happening internally. This was an internal struggle that the man, the writer, this man of God who walked with God, that he was wrestling with. So what does it mean when he says that his soul melteth? It means this: to gradually become soft or liquefied, just like the wax of the candle. That which was hard, that which was solid, when it begins to melt, it begins to be soft and it begins to be liquefied. You apply the heat and you take that which was hard, that which was solid, that which was firm, you apply the heat and it begins to soften and to weaken and to liquefy the individual. You know what the writer said in verse number 28? He is saying this: my inner man, it's soft right now. My inner man is not solid and firm and hard and established as it once was. Because of the heaviness, it's serving almost as a fire in my life. Because of the sorrows of life, because of the afflictions of life, because of the difficulties of life, because of the frustrations of life, here is what has happened. With everything that has piled upon me, whatever it may be, with everything that is happening and taking place in my life, here is what has happened. It has taken me, who was once perceivably, in at least his own mind, a man who was strong, a man who was solid, a man who was put together, so to speak. He said, I am now at a point in my life where I know internally I'm not as strong and as solid as I once was. The heaviness that I've been dealing with, the heaviness that I have been carrying, the afflictions and the sorrows and the frustrations of life, the heat that it has applied to me internally, not externally where you can see it, not externally where everyone knows what's happening, but internally, you know what it's done? It's begun the melting process. It didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't something that just one day I was here and the next day I was melted. No, it's been a gradual process. It's been a slow process. But as the heat, so to speak, has been turned up in my life, it's caused me to melt. And it's caused me to not be as strong and as solid as I once was. As you think about this, his coping mechanism is fairly impressive. Why do I say that? For this reason. Notice what he says in verse number 28. He says, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. What is his prayer? His prayer is, Lord, I need you to strengthen me, which means I need you to make me strong once more and establish me. I need you to do that according unto or through thy word. What is the word? It is the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. I really don't want us to miss this, okay? I want us to get this. His prayer by way of a coping mechanism is this. God, I need you to strengthen me, establish me, and make me strong once more through the power of your word. Why is his coping mechanism so impressive? Because here's what the prayer could have sounded like. Lord, my soul melteth for heaviness. Lord, internally I am growing weak and I am growing soft. And God, I'm not at all what I once was because of the heaviness of life. Therefore, Lord, remove those things that afflict me. Remove those things, therefore, that bring about the sorrow in my life. Do you understand what the prayer could have been? Do you understand what the coping mechanism could have been? It could have been this, Lord, I'm struggling because of the heaviness, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take away those things that are bringing about the heaviness in my life. And if we had read such words, we would have said, well, it makes sense to me. It's perfectly understandable. I mean, who would not pray that the things which are bringing about the heaviness would be removed? But see, the man did not say, God, take away the heaviness. But what he did say was this by way of his prayer. God, in the midst of that which is heaviness and that which is melting me, God, I am asking you to strengthen me through your word. God, whether or not you take away the heaviness, God, whether or not you take away the affliction, God, whether or not you take away that which has brought about the sorrow, what I am asking you to do is to strengthen me and to establish me and to make me strong once more because of the power of the Word of God in my life. Now this morning as we think about these words, surely you can see where this is headed, can you not? I think you should be able to, but we're going to walk through this anyway for the lack of excited response, okay? I want us to think about our personal, individual lives. Only you and I know to the degree in which we walk with God. Okay? I know to the degree in which I really strive to walk with the Lord. You know to the degree in which you really strive to walk with the Lord. And we all know how much of this is just Sunday morning show and Sunday morning fluff. Okay? We know to what degree we have sought to walk with the Lord in the last week. We know how much time we've spent with the wondrous law of God. We know how much time we've spent praying and asking the Lord to open our eyes to such things. We know what kind of walk with God we really have, do we not? Okay, so we have an idea then as to how strong our relationship with the Lord is. We know whether or not we're wax or whether or not we're trying to be still. We know what kind of a substance we are, but regardless of what we are, here is what most of us think we are. Most of us think we're fairly solid folks, and we think we're fairly solid individuals. We're able to, you know, basically handle whatever life throws at us. We kind of square our shoulders back and we say, we can handle this. Whatever life brings at me, I can handle it. So here we are, and we're walking with God to some extent, and you and I know to what extent that is. But we all view ourselves to be fairly strong. We all view ourselves to be fairly independent people. And we know what to do, and we know how to manage, and we know how to navigate, and we know how to make it through this life. But what happens to every individual, regardless of who we are? The heaviness comes. And it comes in so many different forms, does it not? There's not a set pattern for what heaviness looks like. The sorrows and the afflictions and the frustrations and the trials of life, they can come at us from so many different directions and from so many different angles. Sometimes when the affliction comes from this angle, you know, we say, well, that's a frustration. And you know, that's a source of irritation, and I don't like that. But we're strong enough to resist it, whatever it was. But there are seasons in our life, it doesn't matter how strong we are, it doesn't matter how godly we perceive ourselves to be, there are seasons in our lives where it seems like if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. If it could, you know, get worse, it has already gotten worse. And there are times it feels like, at least in my life, probably not in your life, but there are times it seems like in my life, it's as though the burner has been turned up on high. And the affliction is coming from here, and the affliction is coming from here, and the affliction is coming from here, which means really just the frustrations of life. It seems as though it's hitting me from all different directions of life. And here I am, I'm the man. And I don't mean the man, you know what I mean, but I'm a man. And I'm supposed to be strong. And I'm the husband, so I've got to be strong for Susie, and I'm the dad, and I've got to be strong for the kids, and I'm the pastor, I've got to be strong for the church, and so I'm supposed to be strong, I'm supposed to be strong, I'm supposed to be strong. That is who I am strong. But everything's coming at me at once. And you know what begins to happen internally? I begin to melt. Oh, Brother Kyle, you're saying you melt sometimes? Yes, but here's the thing. Because it's done internally, most of the time you can't tell. So there are times that Susie has no idea what I'm wrestling with. There are times that she may say something like this, "Babe, is there something on your mind?" And I can say to her, "No, I'm fine." But internally, what is really happening is I'm mulling many things over that are taking place that I don't really want to discuss with her right now. So I say to her, "I'm fine." And I try to snap out of it a little bit, and I try to act like everything's okay so as to convince her that there's nothing to worry about, there's nothing to be mindful of, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to have a good time. There are times that the kids have said to me, "Dad, are you okay? You seem like you're kind of being quiet." And so it's in those moments where I've got to snap out of this. I've got got to make sure the kids know that everything's good. Everything's fine. Dad's going to be okay. And what they don't know is that internally I am wrestling with things that I don't want to burden them with and that they don't need to worry about right now. But man, inside I am struggling. You don't begin to know the number of times you've come to church and the preacher, your pastor, has preached the message and I've tried to say everything that the Word of God would expect me to say and what the Holy Spirit has led me to say. And there are times within me that I am struggling so bad, I'm melting. God, I'm tired of this. God, I'm frustrated. God, I just want to walk away. And God, I just want you to release me of the obligation. I'm wrestling with things. Well, Brother Kyle, you're the preacher. You're the pastor. You're not supposed to say that. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how strong I think I am. It doesn't even matter how strong the Lord thinks I am. There are still times in my life where He allows the heat to be turned up in such a way that I realize my weakness and I realize my frailty and I realize I cannot handle everything on my own. I'm incapable of doing such. So as the heat gets turned up in life, as I begin to wrestle with this and I begin to struggle with this and I begin to deal with this, most of the time I am processing all of this internally and only very few people would know what the struggle is because I'm willing to confide in them. Hey, listen, I am struggling and I'm sick of it. And that's how most of us go through life in the midst of our heaviness. We put on the strong exterior. We put up this facade, trying to convince everyone around us we're okay, when internally we know, not at all what I was last week. I'm not at all what I was a month ago. I'm not any place near where I was a while back, whatever the time frame may be. Every one of us, if we're honest, we know what it means to melt internally. And if you're not willing to admit that this morning, you're not able to be helped this morning. Every one of us have struggled and wrestled and dealt with the heaviness of life, and we have done so internally, trying to make sure no one knows that we're struggling with anything. So when those moments come in our lives, how we cope with that then becomes vitally important. Because regardless of what anyone would say, we all cope with it one way or another. See, here's what happens when some people begin to melt, regardless of how strong they think they are. They begin to withdraw. Well, that's what I'll do. I'll withdraw. And I'm just going to, just kind of slide back further into my little hole and I'm just going to get away from everybody because I don't want anyone to know that I'm struggling. So as I struggle, here's what I'll do. I'll just withdraw from everyone who is in my life, who would care about me, who would love me, who would, pray for me, things of that nature. I'm just going to withdraw and I'm just going to hope that somehow this all fixes itself. So many people in our world today, they turn to a bottle, they turn to a pill, they get depressed, they just find themselves in a terrible position. It's amazing how people cope with the heaviness of this life. Here's the problem. Most Christians don't cope much better or much more spiritually minded. So here's how a lot of Christians tend to cope with the heaviness that is melting them. God, take away my problems. Take away my issues. Now someone says, what's wrong with that? Well, I guess technically I can't fault you on it, But it says something about us. See, God, in the midst of this heaviness, in the midst of this season of life where the fire has been turned up and I'm beginning to melt and I'm beginning to see how weak and you know, just how weak I am. God, as all this is happening, here's what I want you to do. Rather than to strengthen me with your word, I just want you to take away all of my affliction and all of my heaviness so that I don't have to be made stronger. You understand what I'm talking about? God, the heaviness at work right now is just too much. God, would you take care of work? Really? God, the financial struggle that we're dealing with right now is more than I can bear. God, you're going to have to fix my finances. God, you know the relationship issue. God, you're going to have to fix them. God, you know the health issue. I need you to fix my health issue. God, you know what's going on in this particular area of life. God, I need you to fix that. Have you noticed, if we're honest, how many times we don't pray, God, just strengthen me according to thy word? God, establish me once more and make me strong once more according to the truth of your word. See, here's how many Christians, myself included, we tend to cope. We don't turn to the bottle. We don't turn to the pill. We don't turn into a state of depression. We don't do that. But here's what we do. We say, God, fix everything. And until he fixes it, you know what we continue to do? We continue to pout and to sulk and to just kind of mull along and trudge along and just kind of hate life until our circumstances get better. Can you identify with me at all on this? Or are you just like, man, preacher, you're worthless? I have to be honest and tell you that there are so many times when the struggles are real and the struggles are definitely bearing down on me, there are so many times that I'm not praying, Lord, strengthen me according to your word. I'm the one who would rather pout, sulk, kick rocks, and be upset till God makes it all better again. God, I'll be better once you turn that flame down or once you just extinguish it completely. God, if you'll just make the heat go away, then that way I can go back to how I was and I'll be fine. We may go back to how we were, but we will not be stronger because of it. It's important how you and I cope because it says much about our spiritual maturity. There is strength to be found in the Word of God. There is strength to be found in the commandments, to be found in the laws, to be found in the precepts. There is strength to be found in the writings and in the stories of the Word of God. There is so much strength to be found in the Word of God, but that has to be something we go to by way of coping with the heaviness of life in order for us to know the benefit of it in the midst of our struggles of life. I don't know how many times this would be true of me, more than I'd like to admit this morning. But see, when the heaviness begins to kick in and when the fire begins to be turned up and whenever the melting begins to take place, you know what my flesh naturally and instinctively wants to do? It wants to avoid the very thing that would help me the greatest. I don't want to read right now. Well, that's mature. I don't want to pray right now. What good does it do? Why would I pray that the Lord would strengthen me according to His Word? See, that's my flesh talking. That's my weakness talking. That's my immaturity talking. There is great strength to be found in the truths of God's Word. but we have to be willing to turn to it. Now, there are some who would say, well, that's ridiculous, Kyle. That's ridiculous. To think that in the midst of the heaviness of life, I mean, it may work for your trials, but it's not going to help for my trials. See, that's why we don't always need to know what the trial is because we like to qualify our trials and the degree of severity of them. And the Word of God may work for that trial, but it wouldn't work for my trial. The Word of God would work for your heaviness here, but it wouldn't ever work for my heaviness here. See, the person who says that is the one who has never gone to the Word of God in the midst of their heaviness. Because when you and I are honest, here is what we know. The Word of the Lord strengthens us no matter what the heaviness is. No matter the heaviness that we are dealing with, no matter the afflictions that we are going through, when we yield ourselves to the Word of God, whether it be in our own personal Bible reading, whether it be through the preaching of the Word of God, whether it be the truth of God's Word found in song, whenever we yield ourselves to the truths of God's Word, we are always strengthened by it. But that must be our prayer and that must be our desire. And if it's not, we will never be strengthened. We will never be made strong through the Word of God. And so this morning, I just want to close with this thought. You and I have no idea what other people in this room are dealing with. You and I could look around this morning and we could say something like this. Well, everybody has it pretty good around here today. Well, isn't everyone just doing good? I mean, everyone is enjoying life and everyone's got a smile and everyone's doing fantastic. And as we would perceive that to be the case of everyone else, you know what everyone else is thinking about us? Man, their life looks good. Man, their life looks great. I mean, they've got a smile on their face. Apparently, everything's going good for them. And you know what could be happening right now? I'm not saying that it is, but it could be happening right now that there are people in this room sitting here saying something like this. I wish I had their life. Well, I wish I had their life. I wish I had their lack of burdens because I'm dealing with some stuff that's pretty strong right now. And I'm dealing with some stuff that right now, I mean, it's pretty intense and it's weighing on me. See, we don't know what's going on in each other's lives. Only you know what's going on in your own personal life. Only you know to what extent you're struggling today. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not struggling at all. That's good. Talk to me next week. Because a lot can happen in the next 7 days. Amen. Come see me next week, and you may say in a smug tone, nothing's bothering me. Okay, just talk to me later then. Arrogant punk. Okay, just talk to me later. Because this will happen at some point. No matter how strong you think you are, the heat will come and you will melt. It happens to every one of us. And you may be melting right now. I don't know it. The people sitting beside you don't know it. The people who greeted you on the way in this morning, they don't know it. The people you greeted on the way in, they don't know it. Nobody knows it but you. You are melting right now. My question to you is this. Where are you going to turn in the midst of the heaviness? Are you going to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, take away the affliction? Or will we say, Lord, strengthen me right now in the midst of the affliction through your word? I'm not asking for the problems to be removed, but God, I am asking you in the midst of the affliction and in the midst of the heaviness, God, strengthen me with the truth of your word in the way that only you can. I promise you, the strength is available if we will look to it in our lives through the power of God. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, I do pray that you'd be with each listener this morning. God, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter what area of life we think we are in right now. Everyone in this room.